The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
So we say, we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sit-ins. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply. Lie to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Of course, I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date, it is a Monday, and it is April the 18th, 2016. Hope that you all didn't get hemmed up behind these enemy lines over the weekend. As we know, a lot of casualties get created over the weekend for whatever reason. Usually alcohol and drugs are involved, and people are exercising bad judgment and they're not being codified as they move behind the enemy lines. So, you know, I just hope that that didn't happen to you or one of your family members. All right, let's get into some of today's topics. And then we'll take a quick review of some of what the news that was shared on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, where we share a lot of different news and information with you all for those that follow us on social media. But before I get into that, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. I came across an article on social media talking about Hillary Clinton wants to experiment with poor children and boarding schools. And the first thing that popped into my mind, as you can tell for those who are listening on Black Talk Radio Network and had a chance to view today's promo for today's program, I thought about those boarding schools where they took indigenous children here in America, sent them to these boarding schools and you know, just stripped them of their culture, stripped them of their identity, ethnic identity, just stripped them of everything. That's the first thing that came to my mind. So I definitely want to share that article with you where Hillary Clinton gave an interview to the Newsday editors on Long Island, New York. I guess Newsday is a local publication there in the New York area. And they talked to her on several different topics, but that is what stood out the most to me. Is she's talking about creating a boarding school system to send problem poor kids, you know, because they have so many problems and issues that apparently their parents cannot address and what have you. So we might need to snatch them up and send them off to boarding schools and what have you. Never mind the fact that, you know, I don't know how she would pay for such a thing. But, I mean, that's just scary to me. That's very, very scary that somebody would be advocating for something like that. Also, want to talk about Bernie Sanders re-emphasizing his push to have cannabis. For those that don't know the scientific name, I'm talking about pot. I'm talking about weed, I'm talking about ganja, whatever you want to call it. He re-emphasized his push to have cannabis removed from the Drug Enforcement Agency's scheduled list of drugs, showing how he contrasts with Hillary Clinton on the issue of federal cannabis prohibition. So we want to listen to that Also, you got CEO Barack Obama of USA Inc., who is reversing the course of the Department of Justice. I mean, this was like months ago, about 4 months ago, where you had Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, say that they were ending the federal civil assets forfeiture program. Eric Holder had, you know, prior to him leaving that post, he had talked about ending it. And so, you know, he never did. But once Attorney General Loretta Lynch got in there, she, about 4 months ago, she announced an end to that controversial program that allows law enforcement officers to be robbers. It turns cops into robbers. Basically, you know, they're robbers anyway, because most of them are robbing us of our freedom, robbing us of our liberty, robbing us of self-determination and what have you. And indeed, they are the enforcers of white supremacy codes and what have you. So want to talk about that. That's, you know, that's just sad, man. That's just really, 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 really sad that CEO Barack Obama, after this has been announced by Loretta Lynch, here he comes out and he's, oh no, we're going to keep allowing these cops to rob people and take their property, even if they have not committed a crime. And so those are some of the news stories that I want to share with you today. If you would like to share an opinion, an observation, make a comment, what have you, ask a question, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to signal the host that you would like to speak. You can also hit us up using the same numbers, using the web-based flash phone, or give us a call on the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. Again, that studio line, that's 704-951-5030. All right, now let's just briefly go over some of the items that have been shared with those who follow our social media feed on Facebook. Again, that's facebook.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Here is something that Boyce Watkins, Dr. Boyce Watkins of Your Black World, he has a number of different publications that he publishes and puts out there, shares information. I don't always see eye to eye with him on things, but, you know, I've yet to find a person I agree with 100% on everything, you know, so that's okay. This agreement is not necessary, you know, but he does share a lot of good information. And some of that good information that he shared, I thought it was need-to-know information. He shared, he said that the White House wants to address criminal justice reform. So do they invite law professor Michelle Alexander, the author of The New Jim Crow? Nope. Instead, they bring in, get this, people, they bring in Nicki Minaj. Dr. Watkins says that Nicki raps for a living and glorifies drug dealers. Michelle Alexander, he's talking about, has dedicated her life to studying the legal system and how to make it better. He said that Lil Wayne would never ask Michelle Alexander to rap on stage, so Nicki should not be discussing federal policy with the president. One choice would be a serious one. The other is a photo op. I am very disappointed. Again, this is Boyce Watkins speaking. Thousands of families have parents who are never going to come home because of nonviolent so-called drug crimes. I added the so-called in there. Committed in the 80s and the 90s. While we take pictures with rappers, they are being raped and tortured in American concentration camps. After the photo op with the rappers, I hope the president will then meet with Michelle Alexander. This is no time for our president to be a groupie. And I have to say, I'm in agreement with the sentiments of Dr. Boyce Watkins. Now, you know, that's not to say anything bad about Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj has surprised me over the years where, you know, very few instances, but she did it. So she deserves, you know, to you know, whatever we give out for that, you know, kudos or whatever. But she, I came across an article, actually somebody commented on this post and said that Nicki has spoken out against, you know, the system of mass incarceration before. And so I read that article and she was talking about it using the language that we have been using on this station for the past 5 years that New Abolitionist Radio, the radio program, has been in existence on this network. She used the language or the term modern slavery to describe it. Now, again, I don't have anything personal against Nicki Minaj. I do think that the media that she produces for white people is poisoning the minds of young people and even some old people alike. I'm talking about people in their 30s and 40s, you know, following behind these rappers and allowing their minds to be poisoned with all of this suggestive subliminal messaging and whatnot. So, I mean, he is exactly right about that, you know, about her glorifying drug dealing and, you know, trying to portray herself about being about that life and what have you. And again, as Malcolm X taught me, you know, in 2008, when I came across his video talking about the power of the media, he said the media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet because it controls the minds of the masses. So I do have an issue with the music that Nicki Minaj puts out there, so that she can get, you know, millions of buttery biscuits and whatnot, so she can have a comfortable life on the plantation and what have you. But this is just ridiculous, man. This is just ridiculous. And you wonder why some people don't take Barack Obama serious. Okay, this is one of the reasons why. Why would you bring Nicki Minaj on? And I seriously doubt that they're bringing her in to have a serious policy discussion with Nicki Minaj, because I just don't think, yeah, she could surprise me. I don't know, but I haven't seen nothing where she gets into, you know, policy details or anything like that. I've never heard her talk about we need to amend the 13th Amendment and remove the slavery exception clause that allows for slavery as punishment for crime. I have never heard her talk about abolishing private prisons and jails and what have you. I've never heard her supporting any of the private prison divestment campaigns going on at any of these universities and what have you. But she does know something is wrong. She knows it ain't right that all these people's getting locked up and what have you. But again, this is a serious problem. And it's not going to be solved by rappers. It's not going to be solved by photo ops and what have you. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, I'm a leave that there. There's nothing more I can say about that. Let's see, what else can I share with you before we get into our main topics of the day? Check out this video that was posted a couple of days ago on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook feed. How asking a question about Hillary Clinton's rhetoric matching up with her actual record versus Donald Trump's record on women and equal pay. I happen to be watching HLN, which is a subsidiary or sister network of CNN. And they did a report looking at the tax records of the Clinton Foundation and what have you. And Hillary Clinton, as much as she likes to talk about equal pay for women, you know, equal pay for equal work and what have you, she at the Clinton Foundation and the Free Beacon also did a report. And I think I reported on this a month or so ago about when she was a New York senator, how female staffers were paid considerably less money then male staffers that was doing the same kind of work that they were doing. And so, I mean, that this just again speaks to her competency. You know that you run, you're going to be running for president. You know you're going to make, you know, women's issues a very central part of your campaign. But yet, when you were a New York senator, and then after starting the Clinton Foundation, you didn't think that this was going to be an issue that's going to come up. You didn't think that you should pay female women, because I heard from some feminists that I shouldn't use the word female, because that's the word you use to describe animals and what have you. But, you know, she didn't think that. I mean, first of all, it just goes to her core beliefs. Obviously, she doesn't believe that women should be paid equally. It ain't a matter of what a person says. It's a matter of what a person does. And her record shows that she doesn't believe in paying women the same as men for similar work. And that's just a trip, man. I just don't really see how that is not a major issue right now in this campaign. Let me see, what else do we want to share with you before we move on? Check out this hidden video. ABC News investigates fundraising with hidden video by Hillary Clinton on emails. What the video shows you. It's a video I found on YouTube. And what the video shows you, there's this guy. I forget his name. Y'all can go check out the video. But he was a big time fundraiser for the Clintons, and he was hosting these big dollar dinner parties and whatnot. Had one event where, you know, he paid for the entire thing, paid for Cher to sing and serenade, you know, the crowd and what have you at this, you know, invite only fundraiser for the Clintons and whatnot. And so he was making home videos and whatnot of, you know, the stuff that was going on, and, you know, the dinner, and some of the conversation was being recorded. And what got picked up by the mic was Hillary Clinton discussing how she doesn't like to use government email and what have you, because, you know, it could turn up in investigations and what have you. You know, this is what somebody wrote for the article. They said that Hillary Clinton is revealed to be chasing down money and talking about her emails on hidden camera, where she admits on tape she does not want to use email because of what it might do during any investigation. Fundraising, fraud, and other issues at work here. The entire investigation by ABC News 2020 shows the darker side of what happens when public financing is not used for elections, but the way in which government officials are doing favors for those that throw the most money at them is disgusting. We already know how bad Bill and Hillary Clinton were regarding Wall Street money, but this is clearly something they want to put in their past, and was only one example where it was actually caught on tape. Can you imagine all of the other examples where it was not? I'm sure there are more clips, as I believe that cuts short and has some dropouts. I can update if someone directs me to better clips. So again, you know, and on a related note, let me make sure this isn't one of the stories that I wanted to share with you. No, it's not. But I've been reading again about, well, this is one of the stories that's on our Facebook page, where it is talking about, let me see if I can find it. Y'all bear with me. I got a lot posted here. Yeah, about the email scandal. Update to that. The Clintons have hired or brought back on board David Kendall to represent Hillary Clinton in the FBI's criminal probe into her private email server. You know, people want to talk about this isn't a criminal investigation. This is a civil investigation. No, it's not. No, it is not. The Judicial Watch is the one that's doing the civil investigation in terms of the civil lawsuit that they filed against the State Department and Hillary Clinton, because they were the ones, I think it was them, who discovered that she had a private email server. I forgot how. No, that came out during the Benghazi hearings. But they had been requesting information under the Freedom of Information Act, and the State Department was telling them that information don't exist. And then later on, we find out, oh, that's because she had all that information on a private secret server in her basement. So it seems to be getting close to Hillary Clinton actually having a sit down with FBI investigators. This is not a civil probe. This is a criminal probe into her private email server. So that's expected to happen real, real soon. There's one more story that I wanted to share that I thought was important that I shared today. Japan, the country of Japan is preparing to release radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. Now, this is related to the March 2011 tsunami that wrecked Japan and Fukushima nuclear reactor, to be more specific. And a lot of radioactive material got washed out into the ocean to begin with, because somebody thought it was a good idea to build a nuclear reactor on an island that is prone to earthquakes, and then they're going to set it not right in the middle of the island. No, let's set it on the coast right by the water, you know. And so we have, you know, people, different programs, primarily Tando Radio Show, which comes on at 6 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday on this network. You know, all of the dead fish, the fish kills and what have you, other sea life like whales and what have you, sea lions and what have you, who have been poisoned by all of this radioactivity debris that got washed out into the ocean. Now these people are talking about releasing thousands of they got these tanks or what have you, these big tanks full of this contaminated water, and they're talking about releasing thousands of tons of water containing the radioactive tritium, I believe is how you pronounce it, tritium, from the Fukushima plant. Now, they have not said that they're going to do this for sure, but they're certainly looking at that. I mean, that is just, man, that if that isn't a crime, I don't know what is a crime against the environment. You're just going to let all this poison, radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean? That just sounds crazy, man. That just really sounds crazy. So that's something that I think, you know, that people should be aware of. And that is why I've heard some people talking about getting off of the West Coast here in the United States with, you know, radioactive clouds and what have you that have been bombarding the West Coast all the way to the Rocky Mountains. I'm trying to remember. We did a program with I can't remember the person's name. That was so long ago. It was sometime last year we did a radio program about, you know, these people being bombarded on in these different states on the West Coast, which also has been showing a higher than average birth of babies that, you know, have these deformities and what have you. And it's related. I know it's related. The Fukushima and what have you. I might be wrong, but, you know, that would seem like suspect number one. We want to talk about that. All right. So let's get on with the rest of the program. Again, the main stories that I want to talk about today, you got Hillary Clinton giving an interview to Newsday editors last week. And y'all know New York votes tomorrow in the New York primary and what have you. But she gave an interview a week ago to the Newsday editors and on several different topics. But she, you know, expressed a desire to create a boarding school system to send all these problem poor kids whose parents just, for whatever reason, can't raise them right, and they got all these problems and what have. How about poverty being a problem? You know, and then Bernie Sanders reemphasizing his push to have cannabis removed from the Drug Enforcement Agency's scheduled list of drugs. Again, showing how he contrasts with Hillary Clinton on that issue. And then CEO Barack Obama reversing course at the Department of Justice. I thought he don't give dictates to the Department of Justice and what have you. You know, he now you got Loretta Lynch walking around with egg on her face after she done made this announcement months ago. They're going to get rid of the federal civil asset forfeiture program. And now here's President Obama, CEO of the USA Inc., talking about, oh, not so fast, not so fast. We're going to reinstitute this program and let these cops keep robbing people blind out there on the highways and byways and what have you. Again, if you have any information you would like to share, any questions, any commentary, give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit *6 and 1 anytime you want to comment. Of course, you're welcome to just listen on that line as well. The studio line, however, is 704-951-5030. So, somebody shared this article today, and it was published yesterday on lucidwitness.com. And it was written by this person by the name of, I think this is Dawn. How you pronounce this? It's a spelling of Dawn that I've never seen before. But Dawn Kaufman posted this, and they say that the title says Hillary wants to experiment with the lives of poor children. Hillary Clinton spoke briefly about a week ago on a wide range of educational topics with Newsday editors on Long Island. The detailed public video and transcripts are posted here. He does provide a link. I did look at the video to confirm that what he's saying, she said, is true. And he certainly is telling the truth. You see her sitting in this boardroom with these editors of this paper or reporters or whatnot, and they're asking her a series of questions. And she absolutely did say these things. Now, she said that, I don't know if that's a she or he. Anyway, Dawn Kaufman says that Hillary Clinton claimed to support national standards in education and a Common Core, which we know has been coming under fire a lot. She supports public charter schools and a litany of quote-unquote good things. Like she said, quote, good teachers, quote, good schools, quote, good charters, quote, good choice, quote, good testing, quote, good explanation appearance of, quote, standardized testing. Never once did she define good, although she used the terms good or great at least 10 times during the 11-minute segment on education. She did not speak to the structural inequity nor the instability of national standards or a Common Core with no national or common funding. The most shocking aspect of her views on public education was her thought about improving education for poor kids, whom she had earlier acknowledged are now a majority in public schools. Now, he does provide a link to another source that says that 51%. Let me state that again, 51% of public school children are living in poverty. They are below the federal poverty index. That is just so shocking, man. That is so shocking when we hear these people talk about how great, quote unquote, the United States is, and that it's the quote unquote wealthiest nation on the face of the planet, and quote unquote, you know, the most powerful democracy ever, quote unquote, and all of this and all of that. But yet, you know, more and more people just keep falling into poverty. Just keep on falling into poverty. Now, let me continue with this article. The poor majority of children are described here as about 70% Hispanic, Black, Asian, Native American, and multi-ethnic. So 70% of the 51% of these poor children that make up a majority in public school system now, 70% of them are either Hispanic, Black, Asian, Native American, or multi-ethnic. Clinton describes poor children as coming to school with all kinds of issues and problems. Then she cites the need to, quote-unquote, experiment on, quote-unquote, poor kids. Clinton wants to experiment with boarding schools, segregate poor children in boarding schools, quote, if we can do it right. Wow. Again, as I stated at the top of the program, you know, whenever I think, when I read that headline, the first thing I thought about was the photos and the history that I had read about, you know, here in the United States, how they would take these indigenous children, many of them often orphans after their mothers and fathers had been murdered by the racists and what have you, and then shove them into these boarding schools and whatnot, where they strip these children of their cultural identity, cut their hair, change their clothing, put them in Western style clothing and what have you, and you know, just assimilating them. They wasn't really to educate anyone, just like today. Public school system isn't trying to educate your children. Really is just trying to indoctrinate them into a system, you know, that is very unjust. So that is the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, how could someone, even if, I know she is a racist, you know, but why would you, even if you believe that, why would you even say such a thing out loud? I mean, it's like she doesn't see anything wrong with that. She doesn't see anything immoral about generalizing poor kids. And, you know, if you go read the rest of it, because it has a transcript in the video, and saying that they don't know how to work together in groups. And I mean, just not ridiculous stereotypes that this woman is putting out there to the public. And saying that they come, they do have problems coming into the school. Yeah, they got problems. Their problem is that they're non-white in a white supremacist system, being taught a white supremacist curriculum that strips, especially Black children, I would say all children, but primarily Black children, all it teaches them is that, oh, y'all just the descendants of a bunch of slaves and what have you. You know, even though that is not the entire Black existence on this continent. And I'm not even going to go into the history of free Black people on this continent and what have you, and actually being a deciding factor in the colonies obtaining their liberation from King George and what have you. But I mean, this is just crazy. This is crazy talk. And she doesn't see anything wrong with what she's saying. And in fact, I don't think she can help herself. I think that racism is so ingrained in this woman's programming that it just comes out. It just comes out. Just like today, they said she was on some hip hop show in New York, radio show in New York, and, you know, talking about how she carried hot sauce around in her pocketbook. And what have you, because, you know, Beyonce made that song Formation, and it was talking about hot sauce, and, you know, she carried hot sauce in her bag. So here's Hillary Clinton. Somebody then boned her up on the lyrics of Beyonce's Formation, and so she goes to a hip-hop station and claims that she's carrying hot sauce in her pocketbook. I mean, that's just so racist, man. This woman, I tell you, she just can't help herself. She cannot help herself. Now, this is the same woman who told you that Bernie Sanders' plan for tuition-free public colleges and universities is pie in the sky, that it can't be done and all this and that. But here she is, wants to build boarding schools for poor children to take them from their parents, because their parents obviously can't do a good job in raising them and obviously not preparing them for school and what have you. So, you know, we got to take them. That's basically what she's saying. Yes, I'm paraphrasing, but that is what she's saying. Boarding school is not regular school. Boarding school is where these kids live at these schools and only get to come home during the summer, you know, when school's out and what have you. They live, that's why it's called a boarding school, like as in room and board, because they live there. They live at the school. So she's dreaming about creating a public boarding school system. Now, let me go back to this article, because they share some good information. He says under the reality, they said there are about 50 million children in public schools in the United States. So if we got 50 million children, then that means what, a little over 25 million, if 51% are poor? Man, that's a lot of poor children, man. I tell you, that's a lot of poor families. But let me continue. There are about 50 million children in public schools in the United States, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. The 51% poor majority in public school totals about 25 million children. If Clinton's boarding school experiment on poor children is successful, then to accommodate all of the poor children, she would need to build 25,000 boarding schools, each accommodating 1,000 boarders plus faculty and staff, and all with incredible ongoing safety and security issues. Food and transportation costs for 25 million poor children would also need to be considered. But, you know, again, she don't want to pay poor people $15 an hour, because that's unrealistic and whatnot. And you know, we ought to just try to go with 12 and what have you, even if that ain't going to pull people out of poverty and what have you. For comparison, Clinton would be building five times as many poor boarding schools as there are Walmart stores in the U.S. But again, she says that, you know, Bernie Sanders selling y'all a bunch of pie in the sky, and we can't have tuition-free public universities and colleges, even though these public universities and colleges are already getting a big chunk of our tax dollars and what have you. Not to mention some of them, like North Carolina State and other public universities like that, that have these huge athletic programs, are making billions of dollars. But we can't, you know, make these schools tuition free. I'm again just talking about public universities and colleges, you know, your community colleges and whatnot. But you can't pay for that. But somehow she's gonna pay for, how many did they say? How many did they estimate? 25,000 boarding schools, where we gonna ship off these little poor, ill-prepared black children to go to school, because, you know, black people can't raise kids in a system of white supremacy. At least that's what I've been told. I wholeheartedly disagree with that, but, you know, that's what racists believe, that black men, you know, probably black women too, are incapable of being good parents and what have you. So that's just crazy. Let me continue with the article. They say under morality, the even greater contentious issue with Clinton's ideal to segregate poor children is its morality. First of all, the concept of experimenting on poor children, even if it's voluntary, is contemptible. How will results of her experiment with their lives be determined? The standardized tests, results in use today have shown to clearly identify socioeconomic status. But we already know the children are poor. If standardized tests are not legitimate, how else will she evaluate boarding schools? Clinton may have given some clues about her motivation and maybe her evaluation of quote-unquote results in her comments about early results for poor kids in pre-K in New York City. It's not just the academic environment. She sounds informed so far, but then goes on to specify. It's the social environment. Yeah, it's these parents in the environment that they're providing for their children. It's the social environment. It's giving kids a chance to learn how to work in groups. It's giving, you know, kids who need it maybe more structure. How about resources? See, this is, again, goes back to the 1994 Clinton crime bill when they were talking about addressing crime and what have you. And they want to tell you that a bunch of black people was begging for mass incarceration. They was begging for their communities to turn into, you know, a stop and frisk zone and what have you, a police state and what have you, even though the entire United States is a police state. But yeah, no, all them black people weren't. They were asking for resources. They was asking for a jobs program. They was asking for educational opportunities. And they were asking for funding from the federal government to address the issues of poverty. Because poverty is the root cause of the crime that's going on in these communities by far. Often what we see is crimes of survival where you have, you know, the laws of the jungle exist, where everybody is struggling to make it and trying to survive. And then they, you know, turn cannibalistic and start preying on each other, because that's what most people do. They prey on those closest to them. It goes on in the poor white communities as well, believe me, because, you know, there are several of them where I live where this crime is going on because of poverty and what have you. So, you know, this is scary to me. This is very scary that you got, you know, a candidate for CEO of USA Inc. talking about taking somebody's kids and putting them in a boarding school because we got to get them out of these. No, not talking about improving the environment that these children live in. And again, let's not forget, in 19, when was the Welfare Reform Act? That pushed even more children and families into poverty. You know, when Bill Clinton was talking about we're going to change welfare as we know it and what have you. So again, she ain't talking about providing resources to those disadvantaged, impoverished community. She talking about taking the kids, man. She talking about taking your kids and sending them, shipping them off to some boarding school, just like they did little indigenous kids here in the United States, and stripped them of their culture and identity, and you know, assimilated them, taught them to assimilate into American society. And that still goes on to this day. That is what that whole talk about, oh, we need to get rid of these labels. We're all Americans. There ain't no black Americans. Ain't no African Americans. Ain't no, well, they don't tell Chinese Americans to stop calling themselves Chinese. They don't say that to the Irish. They don't say that to the Japanese. They do not go to a Japanese steakhouse and say, you in America now. You ain't in Japan. This is an American steakhouse. No, they don't say that kind of stuff to nobody but black people. What is it about us that they just want to strip us of our unique identities? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So do check out that article and share it. And again, you know, we have done programs in the past with black homeschoolers and homeschooling, talking about homeschooling cooperatives, where it's not just a parent, you know, struggling on their own to educate their children because they got to work. They might have to work two or three jobs or what have you. You know, we're talking about community cooperatives. You know, we got all these churches that's basically empty Monday through Friday except for Wednesday night. You know, why not use them? Why not use them as homeschooling bases and what have you? This is, again, why I'm not against charter schools, which the Democrats are wholeheartedly against. I understand some of the arguments and what have you, because it's going to take funding away. But y'all see Hillary Clinton for, quote unquote, public charter schools that don't have, where people in these schools can be more innovative and whatnot. But my thing is that black children, particularly African descended children, need an Afrocentric curriculum. It is this white supremacist curriculum that is part of the problem and why our children are so confused and don't have confidence, have low self-esteem and all. I mean, damn, if all I was ever taught was all black people did on this continent was suffer, that we never did anything great, that we were never, you know, fighting back, and we were never self-reliant and all this and that, you know, I'd be damn depressed too and have low self-esteem. If I was taught that all my ancestors did was get captured in Africa and put on a boat and shipped over here in chains and, you know, forced to work for another man's profit, I would be depressed as hell. I'm glad I started early on. Well, not, I should thank those people in my family, primarily my god brother Reggie, who taught me how to read at a very, very early age. And for whatever reason, I just took an interest in reading about history. And, you know, I'm just so glad that my family instilled confidence in me and what have you. But that is the problem with a lot of our children. It's a multifaceted issue, but, you know, it's no one thing that we can point to. It's a combination of things. But we see what white supremacists like Hillary Clinton is thinking about, what they got planned for our children. They're going to take our children and throw them up in a boarding school. Damn. That's crazy, man. That is really, really crazy. This should have been front page news. This should have been running on CNN and MSNBC. This should have been a major story. But it's not. It's not, because, again, you know, when the media is run by white supremacists, you can't expect them to inform you about everything you should know. So that's just sick. Very sick, man. All right, let's go ahead and take a station identification break, and then when we'll come back, I'll check the phone line, see if we got any questions, comments, observations, anything anybody wants to share. If not, we'll jump into this next story about Bernie Sanders re-emphasizing his push to have cannabis removed from the Drug Enforcement Agency's scheduled list of most dangerous drugs on the planet, which shows how he contrasts with Hillary Clinton, who does not want to remove it, who in fact told a lie and said that, oh, we need to do more research, there's not enough known about cannabis. Look, people have been smoking cannabis for thousands of years. Whoever discovered, you know, the medicinal benefits of that plant and the recreational benefits as well, you know, they've been doing it since man. I've read about cannabis seeds being found in the Egyptian tombs and what have you. So, but she says that there needs to be more research, and I actually made a video showing all the research that has been done over the past decades by schools, by universities, but she lied. She lied and said we need to put it on schedule too so more research can be done. Damn, all she does is lie, man. We got to write that song, man. Come up with a nice beat to it. All she does is lie. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. Again, my name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind enemy lines. Stay tuned. We will be back on the other side.
I scratched up. Stop. control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Do want to remind you of the Black Media Matters campaign that the Black Talk Media Project is running and will be running from here on till we cease to exist, if that happens. But we can't expect our enemies. In fact, we should not want our enemies to be funding anything that we are targeting towards other black people. All right, we shouldn't want them to be involved in that process in any kind of way. Yes, they can donate money and what have you, but usually that money comes with strings attached, and you know, we don't want that. So it is incumbent upon us to fund our own media, our own media platforms, our own media programs and what have you, and taking advantage, you know, of technology that we have today. You know, used to be back in the day, you know, it took a whole lot of money to not only buy and but also operate a terrestrial radio station. But now even terrestrial radio stations are going out of business because it's not a good economic model. When you have internet radio, you have digital radio based on the internet that can also reach into your cars, that can reach to your smartphones and stream into your homes and stream over the TV and what have you. So, you know, right now we have an opportunity to get back what was lost with the passage of the 1996 Telecommunication Act, which allowed the big major corporations to buy up a bunch of radio stations and drown out independent black media. Sure, they have radio stations that target black people, but, you know, do we want to be targeted by white supremacists? Sure, they'll hire some black person to, you know, be a radio personality and whatnot, but let that person color outside the lines and what have you, and they'll be out of a job. Y'all see where Michael Bazin at now, don't you? Michael Bazin don't have no national radio program no more, does he? Wonder why. Wonder if it had anything to do with him promoting the rallies in Louisiana for the Gina 6. I wonder if it had anything to do with him bringing on activists, talking about a system of racism and white supremacy, talking about slavery and, you know, modern slavery, although they was calling it mass incarcerations, and then, you know, mixing in that talk radio with some R&B, some good old school R&B. You know, he had the perfect mix and what have you. So, you know, he was able to get information out to the people. Oh, no. I don't know if it was CBS radio or if it was ABC radio. Y'all didn't know they also operate radio. They are not just television. But yeah, his program got canceled. He got pulled off the air. He still have his website. Why he is not engaged in digital radio, I don't know. I reached out to his producers and said, hey, don't worry, digital radio to the rescue. Never heard back from him. So I think he's podcasting or doing something like that now. But my point is that the enemy don't want you talking about certain things. The enemy want to keep you distracted with things that, you know, really are not going to do anything to improve your life. It's not going to do anything to liberate your mind. Because, you know, when you liberate a person's mind, usually their ass will follow, as the old saying goes. So it is on us. It is on us to reestablish black voices in black communities utilizing digital radio. And we cannot expect other people to fund it. We must fund it. So please check out the tab on blacktalkradionetwork.com and on the website of the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. The website is blacktalkmediaproject.org. Please check out the crowdfunding black media tab. That'll take you to the page where you'll find out information on how you can support Black Talk Media Project's independent black media efforts. All right, let me move on to this next story, talking about Bernie Sanders wants to remove cannabis from the DEA schedule list of drugs. This is something I have talked about for a long time, in terms of, you know, just the whole war on drugs things and what have you. So let's go ahead and give a listen. NewBostonPost.com published a post about Bernie Sanders. They shared, you know, he was on CNN. I think this might have been a dim debate or something. And he, I didn't watch the entire thing because, you know, it's not much I can learn from them that I already know. So I don't really waste a whole lot of time watching these debates and what have you. I might tune in and then I'm off doing something else. And then I know people are going to post clips of anything that, you know, we need to know. And so this is a clip from that CNN debate in New York, the last one. Let's go ahead and give it a listen. Let me see if I can get it to load up.
We all know the sun can damage your skin, but sunscreens can be so gross and greasy and cause breakouts.
Introducing our brand new liquid SPF.
This refreshing sunscreen is super lightweight, like water. It quickly absorbs without clogging pores.
Best of all, this sunscreen is yours free when you order Proactive today.
Proactive kits start at just $19.95.
Click the button on this special offer and get two amazing gifts free.
Earlier this week at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, you called out President Clinton for defending Secretary Clinton's use of the term super predator back in the 90s when she supported the crime bill. Why did you call him out?
Because it was a racist term and everybody knew it was a racist term. Look. Much of what Secretary Clinton said was right. He had a crime bill. I voted for it. It had the Violence Against Women Act in it. When mayor of Burlington, we worked very hard to try to eliminate domestic violence. This took us a good step forward. We're talking about the weapon that killed the children in Sandy Hook. This banned assault weapons, not insignificant. But where we are today is we have a broken criminal justice system. We have more people in jail than any other country on earth. And in my view, what we have got to do is rethink the system from the bottom on up. And that means for a start, and we don't talk about this, the media doesn't talk about it. You got 51% of African-American kids today who graduated high school who are unemployed or underemployed. You know what I think? Maybe we invest in jobs and education for those kids, not jails and incarceration. And I'll tell you what else. And I'll tell you what else I think. And that is we have got, and this is a difference between the secretary and myself as I understand it.
We have got to have the guts to rethink the so-called war on drugs.
Too many lives have been destroyed because people possess marijuana, millions over a 30-year period. And that is why I believe we should take marijuana out of the Federal Controlled Substance Act.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry about that unpaid advertisement that you heard, but it was no way for me to mute it or anything like that. So, again, talking about the scheduled list of dangerous drugs that the DEA keeps, what do you call it, the Substance Act or something like that, I can't recall. Anyway, this is something that President Obama, and I actually reported on this, you know, where he was asked again, and there have been several petitions, and he was asked to remove the cannabis from the DEA scheduled list of drugs, which he don't need Congress to do that. He can do that. As CEO of USA Inc., he has pretty much a lot of autonomy in the executive branch, and he could do that. He could remove it, okay? And I was thinking he was going to do it because it was like when, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, before Michelle Lionheart got fired because of all the scandals at the DEA, you know, them having sex parties in Colombia paid for by drug cartels, as well as the DEA entering into an agreement with the Sinaloa Mexican drug cartel that allowed them to smuggle drugs into the black community as long as they gave the DEA some, you know, intelligence, snitched on their rivals. I mean, who wouldn't take that deal? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to let me smuggle drugs and take out my competition? Sign me up. Sign me up, you know. So anyway, I was thinking that, you know, back then when all of this was going on, and President Obama had said, this is what it was, he had said that he doesn't think that pot is any more dangerous than alcohol and what have you. And Michelle Lionheart, his subordinate, who was the head of the DEA, going to come out and make a public statement against him and saying, oh, that's just a bunch of BS and you know, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember exactly what she said. And, you know, I'm glad she's gone now. I'm glad that she got retired. She got forcibly retired from the DEA. She was a holdover from the Bush administration. And if you ask me, she need to be prosecuted, you know. But anyway, I was thinking that Obama was going to be like, yeah, let's go ahead. I'm going to appoint somebody new there. You know, we're going to remove cannabis because from the dangerous list of scheduled drugs because, you know, it ain't any more dangerous than alcohol. I was wrong. Not that long ago, about a month or so ago, President Obama was asked again about this. And he said, if you want it removed, then Congress needs to put a bill on my desk and I might sign it. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's accurate. I'm not misleading you or lying. Or he said, I might sign it. He didn't say he will sign it. He said, I might sign it. So here's a man acknowledging that cannabis isn't any more dangerous than alcohol, which is so legally regulated and taxed, but he refuses to use his executive power on this issue. Hillary Clinton, same thing. She said, no, I would not remove it. I would put it, I would schedule it as a Schedule 2 drug and leave it on the list. Because if it's Schedule 2, then we can do research and we can know how it interacts with other medication and all this and that. A bunch of crap is what she was spewing. Bunch of crap. For decades, globally and here in the United States, there has been study after study after study after study on the effects of cannabis. All this information is out there. You can readily Google any of these studies where they was testing cannabis for all these different ailments. I made a YouTube video about it. I could have did a better job in making a YouTube video by reading the study titles instead of just letting you see the different studies and read the headlines. I should have been reading them. I could have did that a little better or what have you. But again, she's lying. Why wouldn't she want to remove it from the Schedule 2 list? Well, guess what? Because if federal government gets out of the prohibition business, then, you know, a lot of these people would be out of work. Because that is the most consumed substance. If we want to call it a drug, I call it a herb, a wonder herb at that. But if you want to call it a drug or what have you, that is the most used drug in the on the planet. Over 70% of these drug cartels' profits come from cannabis. Why wouldn't you want to take their profits away? Well, because you want to keep the drug war going. You want to keep people being stopped and frisked and fined, ticketed, jailed over cannabis. This is crazy. This is crazy. And to me, decriminalization is not the answer. Because guess what? It still gives government power over your life to tell you what you can and cannot put in your body. This is a plant that you can grow. You can grow it in a little flower pot. You can, you know, grow it out there in your backyard. And what? This is a natural plant that has been around since time immemorial. So, you know, that can be the only reason she does not want it removed. Nobody in history has been documented to have OD'd on cannabis. You can't do it. You can't overdose on cannabis like you can overdose on heroin, like you can, you know, die from alcohol poisoning. You can eat cannabis. It is also classified as a food source. You can eat it. You can turn it into a smoothie, mix it up in a smoothie. You could sit up there and drink cannabis smoothies all day. You will not die. You will not die. Nobody has ever died from consuming cannabis. So there's only one reason why she wants it to remain, because she wants to continue the drug war, which is a major tool they have used in modern day slavery. So, good. I did not watch that debate. Good to hear him push that again. Good to hear him call that language what it was. That super predator language was racist, and everybody knew it was racist. Everybody knew. I knew. I remember when it first started, those terms first started circulating. I was in the military at the time, so yeah. She does not want to remove it. Bernie Sanders does. Clear contrast right there. You know how much money that would save the taxpayers if we weren't paying slave catchers to go and harass people, break into people's homes over cannabis, over a plant? It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Alright, I'm going to take another station identification break, and then when I come back, the last story that I'm going to share with you pertains to CEO Obama reversing the course of the Department of Justice after Loretta Lynch said we was going to end the federal civil assets forfeiture program. And now this story's coming out that Mr. Obama is going to allow these cops to start back robbing people through this program. So stay tuned. We will be back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting on the independently owned and operated Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point? Don't smoke crack.
The police, the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Today on Black Talk Radio News, stay tuned for Tando Radio Show. Oh, Lord, let me stop this. Stay tuned for Tando Radio Show. Brother Dave will be on air today bringing you news and information, as he always does. One of our media partners that operates an independent black-owned digital radio station on Black Talk Radio Network, the context of white supremacy, did see that Gus has a program scheduled for 8 o'clock. I think the subject is supposed to be about black parenting and whatnot and teaching your children counter-racism, so check that out if you have time as well. And remember, you know, if you miss any of the live streaming on the network, we have podcasts. We are podcasting network as well, and you can listen to the podcast at your leisure and what have you. All right, so just check any of the archives for the various programs that's on our network. All right, so let's move on. New York Post, which is a racist rag owned by Rupert Murdoch, I just want to let you know, in case you think I don't know that, I do know that. But news is news. I'm able to separate fact from fiction, and this is basically a news article that's sharing some very factual information with you. It's not, you know, they don't got no pictures of a monkey being shot by cops. Y'all remember New York Post had that as their front page cover, and a monkey was supposed to be Obama and what have you. So I do recognize that the New York Post is a racist propaganda outlet, but, you know, this is an article. Randall Meyer and who is this? Rhea Shapiro published. This was published just days ago, and I just found out about it today. All right, so Obama is titled, "Obama Just Gave Cops the Okay to Simply Take Your Stuff." While Attorney General Loretta Lynch decided late last year that the Justice Department would end the federal civil asset forfeiture program, criminal justice reform advocates proclaimed it a significant deal. I remember reporting on that. We talked about that on New Abolitionist Radio, you know, which comes on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. on this station. I mean, that was a huge deal. That was a huge reversal. Something that really doesn't get the attention that it deserves, this civil assets forfeiture program. But it goes on to read, but late last month, less than 4 months later, the Obama administration reversed itself and reinstated the asset forfeitures funds, Orwellian equitable sharing program. That's a shame, particularly when the only supporters of the policy are the law enforcement agencies that directly benefit from it. Indeed, the federal program's combined annual revenue has grown more than 1,000% in the last 15 years, filling the coffers of federal, state, and local police departments. Civil forfeiture allows police to seize private assets, often without any proof of wrongdoing, and often the agency doing the seizing gets to keep all or most of the proceeds. See, they have an incentive to rob you, okay? They have an incentive. I remember reporting on some of these stories over the years. You know, this one woman, church secretary, y'all know they have sometimes large deposits from the Sunday collection plate, Sunday morning collection plate and what have you. And they had to go to the bank and they had to deposit it into the bank and what have you. And this woman, I think she was making a deposit of $5,000 that she had in the bag, in a paper bag. I don't know why it wasn't in a deposit bag, but, you know, that shouldn't matter. This is a church secretary. She, you know, you could easily verify where the money came from in her employment and whatnot. And she got stopped driving while black. I believe it was a black woman, but she got stopped over a traffic violation. And then I don't know if she gave them permission. I don't recall to search her car or whatnot, because she was thinking, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I ain't got no crack up in here. I ain't had nothing. I don't got a unlicensed weapon under the seat or any. I'll let them go ahead and search it. And then they're like, what's that in the bag? Oh, all this money. Oh, we going to take that. We taking that. Civil asset forfeiture law. Read about it. I'm serious, man. These are stories I have read coming out. Took the church's money. Robbed them. Another dude had won a bunch of money at the casino. Driving home from the casino, I can't remember how many thousands of dollars he had won that night. Gets pulled over. Same outcome. Police confiscating his money, you know. Because they'll claim it's drug money. Any money that you test, this is what I heard. I don't know because I ain't never did it. But I've read that most money, if you test dollars and what have you, you know, dollar bills, what have you, not just dollar bills, any denomination, that you're going to find drug residue on them. All right? So they test it and they, oh, this is drug money. And they take it. Let me go on and read the rest of this article. The Federal Civil Forfeiture Program was passed in 1984. As part of President Ronald Reagan's Comprehensive Crime Act Control. It was intended for use against major drug traffickers and cartels. Where does that sound familiar? Oh, that's who Hillary Clinton said she was really talking about when she was calling kids super predators and whatnot. Anyway, now police use the adoptive forfeiture aspect of the law to avoid the higher burdens of proof and other restrictions on asset forfeiture that states have been enacting. If the underlying actions that state officials are investigating also constitute a federal crime, like simple possession of cannabis, then the relevant assets may be forfeited to the feds. See, that's another reason Hillary Clinton doesn't want to remove cannabis from the Schedule II list that the DEA is keeping, because it will cost the government a lot of money that they are taking from us. All right, it goes on to read, it thus undermines state government's ability to control their own police forces. Undermining it, the state government, federal government, no government should be robbing people. All right. While many states ensure that seized assets go to the general treasury or for special funds like education, but yet somehow we can't fund education, right? All right. Taking all this money from people off the street, highway robbery, but we can't fund public colleges, you know, and have free tuition and what have you. For some reason, you know, we can't fund the schools that we do have and what have you. Man, what a scam. Now, attempting to get their money or property, see, they take property too, often forces owners into a legal labyrinth designed to favor law enforcement. In one recent case in California, a DEA agent seized $16,000 from Joseph Rivers as he was traveling by train to start a music career in Los Angeles. The only suspicious thing about Rivers was that he was traveling a long way on a one-way ticket with a lot of cash. In October, after nearly half a year of legal wrangling, the government won its legal battle for Rivers' money, and he wasn't even issued a ticket, meaning that he didn't do nothing wrong. Why did this cop even mess with him? What kind of probable cause? And then you find this cash and you just take the cash. You don't even charge him with no crime and whatnot. You just robbed a man. You just robbed him. That's armed robbery. That's strong armed robbery. That's what that is. The Washington Post writers go on to write, ending this practice administratively again would go a long way to stopping policing for profit and cure obvious injustices at low political costs. Of course, the Justice Department made clear by reinstating the program that the only way to end federal asset forfeiture would be the same way it was brought into the world, federal law. See, because Obama is a coward, or he's just a simple tool of racism and white supremacy, and he ain't trying to bring no relief to nobody. He puts on this act like he down, you know, he got so much hope and we gonna change this evil system and all this and that. But at every turn, what he says and what he does is two separate things on opposite ends. So here again, and I'm sure Loretta Lynch researched this. Again, Eric Holder was talking about this. He was talking about ending it. He was giving speeches and whatnot. Loretta Lynch, 4 months ago, announces we're going to stop this. It ain't right. It ain't just. It's just wrong. I don't know if that's what the reasoning she gave for stopping it is or not. Those are my words. But so she does it. And we applauded her. We was like, great job. Great job. That's a step in the right direction towards a more just system. All right. But now, again, I don't know what happened. I'm sure we can think of a bunch of excuses. Maybe he's scared of the police. Y'all know he, you know, they have to provide his security sometimes when he run. And since the police wasn't for it, he had to be against it and whatnot. I'm sure we can think of any kind of excuse if we want to really get imaginative and whatnot. Oh, you know, he ain't really in charge. He just the CEO of USA Inc. in name only. He ain't really got no latitude to do nothing and what have you. But see, this is something that they could do because they had did it. They had did it. Now he got Loretta Lynch looking like a fool because now, you know, she had to reverse course and re-implement this program. The writers go on to say the good news is that even a gridlock Congress could do this. One easy way would be to do what it does best, pilfer a federal spending program. When the Justice Department suspended its program in December, it noted that the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2016 and the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 had reduced assets forfeiture program funds by $1.2 billion. I mean, what the hell? Are they giving them matching funds or something? Oh, you steal this much from citizens on the highway, then we'll match it $5. We'll give you $5 for every dollar you seize. Man, it wasn't criminal justice concerns that dictated the change, but rather that those recessions, I think is what they were writing, threatened the financial solvency of the assets forfeiture fund. DOJ promised that it would take all appropriate and necessary measures to reinstate sharing distributions as soon as practical and financially feasible. Oh, so she didn't really end it because it was just, you know, robbing people who hadn't even done anything. Had something to do with some kind of budgetary measures and what have you. Anyway, they're saying now, it appears the only way we're going to change this is through legislation. And, you know, one of the last things they write about it is that there is bipartisan support for this. Because anybody that's being honest and objective has to call it what it is. And it's legalized highway robbery. Hell, they rob you in your house, come in your house and see a bunch of cash on the table. Oh, we taking that. That's drug money. I bet if I test it, it'll come up positive for cocaine. Don't matter if you was actually selling cocaine or anything like that. You know, you could have just went and got, you know, some money to go pay cash for a car, a used car or something. Oh, they just gonna take it. That's gonna take it. Oh man, anybody that looks at this, I tell you, man, this is legalized robbery, just like they practicing legalized slavery. This is the country that you live in, that some of you want to talk about. It's the land of freedom, you know. We got liberty and freedom. This is the best place in the world to live in. If you don't like it, you should leave it and all this and that. And then, you know, if you're really paying attention to what's going on, it's one of the worst places, especially if you're non-white, to live. It's one of the worst places. Sure, we got little areas of, you know, where we're not being oppressed as much as other people, like where I live, where it could be days. Even it has been a month. There have been times that a month has gone by and I haven't seen one cop car. And not just because I'm staying in the house. I'm going to the store. I'm doing my, you know, going about my business, running errands, and I don't never see a cop. Such is life in rural America sometimes, you know. So, tell you, but still, this is one of the worst places to live on the planet. Like Bernie Sanders keeps telling you, United States jails more people than any other nation on the face of the planet. But yet they won't talk about other countries and their human rights records and all this and that. And these people is practicing legalized slavery, human trafficking, and highway robbery. All right. So that's my program. That is all for today. I will be back on air tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Yeah, I will be back on air tomorrow with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. Have any questions or comments that you would like to share, please leave them. Please leave them on the post for today in the comments section, as some people do that. And I will reply to you there. You know, so anyway. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties being created every day. So in order to not become a casualty, I recommend that you develop battlefield awareness. Some people call it situational awareness. I've taken to calling it defensive living, to where you are aware of your surroundings 360 degrees. You're always on alert for that slave catcher lurking behind the bushes somewhere. You just got to be careful, man. You got to be careful. You got to be codified. No drinking and driving. No smoking weed in the car and driving. None of that crazy stuff, man. No riding around with no seatbelts on, and because you know they're giving probable cause. And this thing, you know, they taking your property from you for this federal civil asset forfeiture program. So don't get robbed then. Don't get robbed. If you got to transport cash like, put it in the trunk. Hide it. Hide it. Don't have it in a paper bag sitting in the front seat. No, put it in the trunk and then hide it up under the tire, your spare tire or something. I don't know, because these people is out here to do you harm. They don't mean you no good. So we want you to survive. We want you to live. But more importantly, you know, we want liberation. We want liberation. Be safe out there, people. All right. Talk to you again tomorrow. Again, Tando Radio Show coming up in just about 30 minutes on the Black Talk Radio digital radio station. Peace and blessings to all.
When we see our people being brutalized by white bigots, white racists, we think that they are foolish to allow themselves to be beaten and brutalized and do nothing whatsoever to protect themselves. They are foolish. They should have the right to defend themselves against any attack made against them by anyone. If a dog is biting a black man, the black man should kill the dog. Whether the dog is a police dog, a hound dog, or any kind of dog. If a dog is fixed on a black man, when that black man is doing nothing but trying to take advantage of what the government says it's supposed to be is, then that black man should kill that dog or any two-legged dog. you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to.